Well, we've had some special seasons with baseball, namely a couple of years ago, making it all the way to the Super Regionals. And who knows what's going to happen with this team. But if the conference play is anything like it was this weekend, you're going to get your money's worth or your ear's worth if you're listening on Bulls Unlimited. I know we had a lot of ears on Saturday because the video stream wasn't working, and what a wild game that was. Quick recap of Friday night. It was rainy. It was blustery. The weather conditions were miserable. However, the game got off to a great start. You had the alumni night. It was all you can eat and drink, and people were fired up, if you know what I mean. And the baseball team, you'll hear by the reactions, kept them excited.
Meanwhile, the count is now full, and Rosenblum golfs the ball pretty deep to right field. That's got some carry to it, and it is gone! Ben Rosenblum dents the scoreboard, and the Bulls put a nice dent in it from the beginning. It is 2-0. The wind is blowing out, but I don't think the wind would have mattered where that ball landed.
Bulls led 3-1, however, with the rain really coming down in the third inning, Hunter Mink had an inning to forget, and Memphis, remember, came to town having scored a bunch of runs in their last six games. They had gone 12 or more three times and nine once, and they went into double figures again, almost in the third inning alone, with eight runs and six straight hits, and the Bulls lose the contest 16-7. Memphis was hitting some shots now.
Oh, man. Compton just hammered that ball. Where's it going to land? I mean, watch out, 50th Street. Infield comes in on 3-2, and that ball is hit to straight away center. Mayo going back and watching it sail out of here. Yeah, that hit the camera well. Yikes.
Five home runs in all. In the all-time I messed up category, I think, in the ninth inning, Dante Stewart, who's a transfer from Northwestern State, where he was a tremendous player, their new head coach on their side, came from southeastern Louisiana, so it all makes sense. He hit for the cycle, and I didn't notice. I'll give myself a little bit of an out. It was in the ninth inning of a 16-7 game. We were going on 4 hours, and there were so many extra base hits that I wasn't even thinking of, well, this guy needs a triple for the cycle. I knew he was 4-for-4. He got the triple, and it was one of those sort of delayed go-for-3 things. But on the other side, Memphis really wanted the run rule. They were stealing bases up 16-7. First of all, they went on a 14-0 run to make it 15-3, so they were assuming run rule and never got it because the Bulls started hitting some home runs themselves, and then I'll play at the end of this little highlight reel before we get to the wins. Memphis screwing up the run rule bad. Realized, by the way, that Memphis was calling for reviews up 15-5. That's how bad they wanted to get insurance runs, if you will, to make it a 10-point game. And oh, by the way, the Bulls dropped a pop-up, made it 16-5. So they didn't get that satisfaction, and the Bulls got some highlights out of it.
The opponent has gone on a 14-0 run. Don Montez gets into that ball deep to left center. Going back on it and watching it sail out of here as a center fielder. How about that? The wind just doesn't blow out for one team. That is the second two-run homer of the night for the Bulls, and John Montez gets the margin back down to 10 with his second homer of the year. It is 15-5. Going to the bottom of the sixth, Marcus Brodell, who's been a bright light for the Bulls tonight with two hits, came in with just one, and he golfs that one pretty deep to left field. Well hit, and that's got a chance. It is out of here. Talk about shining bright. Marcus Brodell, who, despite having just one hit all season, had a .500 on base percentage because he worked so many at bats. He has not been waiting around tonight. Runner is off, and I think a better throw might have gotten him, and he came off the bag. How about that if you are Memphis? You are just up in arms with that because Seals had that base stolen every which way, and trying to get to that 10th run for the margin, and they are off the base path.
Three hits for both Brudel and Brutcher, and they did get good pitching from their last two hurdlers, Tanner Mink and Austin Newton. Three combined, four strikeout, no walk innings. The walks really hurt the Bulls early on. Their first three pitchers combined to walk seven. Well, it was a much better start from not only the starting pitcher, Jack Siebert, but from the team in a wild, wacky game, too. The umpires rightly spotted that the Bulls turned in a bad lineup card that had both Marcus Brodell and Cole Robertson, who usually play left field, listed as left fielders. So the Bulls had to rip up their DH, meaning their pitchers had to hit. And boy, did that provide some moments. Here's some of how it went down in a victory on Saturday.
So Snow struck out. Puckett last night K'd three times on the off-speed stuff. And you know they're going to deliver it here. Bases are loaded, one in for the Bulls, but Memphis, it would be a huge victory to keep it at one. He makes contact, and it gets through! What a big swing that is! Two runs come home! Stewart Puckett, he just guided it through the right side. Even if it was stopped in the infield, it was going to make it 2-0, but you absolutely will take both of those runs if you're the Bulls. It will be Jack Siebert in the DH spot for Cole Robertson. And Siebert looks like he's relishing the opportunity. Oh, that is a beautiful bunt down the first base line, and you're about to hear the reaction. 1-2 to Seals. And swung and a miss, strike three, and Jack Siebert lets out a yell. He has been doing it all today. He probably can't wait to come up again. And it's funny because obviously there was something with the Bulls lineup card that Memphis noticed. And how about that? Siebert takes the curveball and sends it up the middle. You do not let Jack Siebert have the bat in his hands. What were they thinking?
I don't know if he'll be pitcher of the week in the league, but he definitely has got to get some sort of honor for all that he did in that game, which had more than an interesting ending. He went six. The Bulls relievers just couldn't throw strikes, and Memphis scored two runs to cut it to one in the top of the eighth and should have had bases loaded. If you follow me on social media, you saw me put out the videos. Now, it didn't determine the outcome, but Friday night, their backup catcher, Jonas Sutton, who does not have a hit, well, didn't until yesterday, you could see why he's out there as a defense replacement. He was framing ball four into strikeouts more than once. The Bulls got the benefit on Saturday. It was Alex Fernandez, their number nine hitter. He had walked four times Friday. He had walked already once Saturday, and he was starting to walk to first base to load the bases up on a 3-0 pitch that went against him.
Must have some sort of force field up there because he's been... Now, again, a couple of his walks, 3-2, he fouled off some pitches, that kind of thing, but a lot of them have been easy takes. That one does for the second time on a 3-0 pitch, take a low ball, and he flips the bat out. And, boy, when you double down, flipping the bat like you've walked and shaking your head at the umpire, you better be protecting the plate right now. But it's 3-1, and frankly, that pitch was low. And wouldn't that be something if Chandler Dorsey can take advantage against a guy that has been bound to walk all weekend long? And called strike three! I said it, and he just threw his glove down. He's out of here! Boy, you talk about doubling down. He just quadrupled down right there. Memphis Tigers were gladly racking up the called strikeouts on balls that were a good 6 inches out of the zone. Now all of a sudden they care about perhaps ball fours being called strikes. Oh, well, they get two runs, and the question is, will Chandler Dorsey come on to hit?
First of all, it went from a 3-1 count to a 3-2 count because we know about the 20-second pitch count. The batter has to be back in the box within 10 seconds, and he was too busy complaining and flipping his bat down to get back in 10 seconds. That's why the count became full. And secondly, yeah, Chandler Dorsey did come up to hit, and he walked, of all things, the batter's in the DH spot for the Bulls that were all pitchers, had a good day. And he would score as the Bulls needed some insurance, and man, did they get it.
Bases loaded, Bulls wanting to add on with two outs in the bottom of the eighth up 5-4. Oh, man, he corks that ball deep to right field, and it slows down at the track, and it gets over the wall! A grand slam! Boy, we've been talking about the wind blowing out to right all day long. And it gave it a little bit of a huff and a puff at the very end. And John Montez is all jacked up. And so is the advantage for the Bulls. It is 9-4.
And believe it or not, the drama was not over. The Bulls' Chandler Dorsey went out to pitch and was having trouble throwing strikes there in the top of the ninth inning. That's why insurance is called insurance. You don't have to sweat it out quite so much, but hits a batter on 3-1. Review overturns what would have been a force out at second base and a 3-2 walk. Dorsey gets a big strikeout, and man, did the drama continue here.
Ball bounces away. Runner's coming home, and he can make the tag, and he got him! Did he? Yeah! Why would you break from third base on that if you're Marcy? The ball absolutely shot off the backstop.
And Memphis will review it because, of course, they have to review it. But Ben Rosenblum dove headfirst to get the runner.
Runner at first base doesn't matter, but Camp Compton probably not going anywhere. Again, one pitch away. Here's the delivery. Swing on a miss, strike three. That was hair-raising. That was eventful. And that was a much-needed win for the South Florida Bulls.
9-5, John Montez, three hits and five RBI. Puckett with three hits. Jack Siebert gets the well-deserved win. He went six for his third win, and that was Dorsey's fourth save. So you knew it was going to be interesting on Sunday and pretty important. And the Bulls got a solid start from Bryce Archie. He's not just some cute little story about a football player getting on the baseball diamond. He is the Sunday starter right now. Now, got into some jams in the first inning. You'll hear him get out. Memphis did get him for two runs in the second inning, but some stuff started happening in the Bulls' favor, and they would quickly, after, get the game going in their direction. Let's take you through the middle of the contest.
It is 0-2 to Seals, who is a .358 hitter. Called strike three. Wow, Bryce Archie just dialing up the heater, keeping it low in the zone, and that was extremely, extremely impressive. Stolen base thing in the call. Catcher's batter's interference. Wow, they do. Wow, that is a big moment right there. Seth Cox, as Archie was off from first base, gets called for interfering, and he, wow. What happened was he missed the pitch, and he did not even try to get out of the way. Yeah, he might have impeded Ben Rosenblum's throw down to first base, but that base was stolen. That'll go down as batter's interference against Seth Cox. And let's see if the Bulls can limit the damage. Even a three spot here is not that bad, considering how it was. And this could be two. Over to third for one, Monke. Quick turn, Montez. Easy throw and two pitches. And, yeah, the Bulls are down 2-0. But, my goodness, that is a good resolution to that inning and a terrible one if the Memphis Tigers. 2-2 starting off the fourth. And again, Snow gets underneath it and hits it really well, but that's just not going to matter. Actually, the wind might make it tricky for the center fielder, and he drops it. Wow! Here's the scoring decision. The Bulls do not have a hit yet. And do you call that a double or an E8? Oh, man, I just watched back the replay. That should never have happened. And they call it a double right away. I mean, instantly. I feel a hit coming on here. Runner's going, and underneath it, will it be deep enough to score the run? It sure will. The wind will catch it, but tacking up and almost falling down is Snow, and he will come on home. So that wind definitely prevented some base hits from happening, but it did not prevent the Bulls from tying the score. Drew Brutcher grabs RBI number 14, and we are tied at two.
We didn't have their first run in there, and of course, there was no hit involved. Drew Brutcher walks to lead off the third inning, and eventually John Montez and RBI ground out. The hits would start coming in the fifth inning as the Bulls took the lead, and Montez was right in the middle of it.
Second and third for the Bulls. And it's to the right side, and it's scooped well, and a good throw, and it's safe! Wow, what a slide!
Montez was absolutely going to be out there. And decided his only shot was to get a little bit inventive on the base pass. And Dubose, their catcher, reacted like someone that thought he had the force out.
Oh, man, what a break. Get it again and see what got into their catcher. Did he really not even attempt to make the tag? Because naked eye, it didn't look like he did. And you've got to obviously apply the tag there to keep the game tied. But it's 3-2 Bulls. Bottom of the fifth, still a long ways to go. And that one is hit up the middle. How about that? Scorched by Brodell. And the Bulls add to their lead. It is 4-2.
So the third hit of the inning, the second run, and unfortunately for their starting pitcher, who did a good job, Caden Robinson, he will be charged with all four of those runs.
And I owe their catcher an apology because it was not the best throw. It kind of led him up the line. But again, on the field, you at least got to try and make the tag, and it didn't happen, and hey, it worked out for the Bulls for sure. Now, Memphis would get a run back in the top of the six, but this play prevented it from being a big inning. I'm telling you, things were happening in the Bulls' favor. It was nice to see.
And it's a chopper, and there could be a play at the plate. Monkey will throw, and I think they got him. They did. Wow, what a play right there.
Keeps the margin at two and makes it two outs here in the top of the sixth. Of course, Memphis is going to replay it, but he was out. They can replay it all they want.
And speaking of replays, you can watch it. We're not going to play the whole thing here, and of course, we're replaying the game on the channel. But the bottom of the seventh, the Bulls thought they had taken a 5-3 lead. Ben Rosenblum, with the bases loaded, got hit, and he was ruled to have lifted his elbow to get hit on purpose. It depends on which side you're looking at it from. You can go to my social media page if you want to. To me, he was trying to get out of the way of a 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball by the other team's closer, Braden Sanders, but Sanders and the Tigers called for replay right away, and they won it. And, of course, in the top of the eighth, Dante Stewart was hit by a pitch, which he really didn't try to get out of the way of, and still got on base. But Riley Skeen comes in. This was an impressive way to finish things off. Skeen, who last year basically lost his closer job because he failed to keep two leads in Memphis as the Bulls got swept. So this was coming full circle and getting it done as we wrap up the highlights here.
1-2. Here's the pitch.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. A dandy curveball by Riley Skeen. And he had issues last year up in Tennessee coming into a game in the eighth inning with a three-run lead, but you couldn't tell it right there. And most importantly, now you're looking at 8-9-1 in the order for the Memphis Tigers in the ninth thanks to that out.
And it's hit up the middle, and oh, good play by the shortstop. A bad throw, and it pops away, and that's going to bring home a run. Boy, that is one where if you're the shortstop, you got to eat that ball. A 5-3 lead, and frankly, they had that coming. Swung and a miss on the curve once again, and it is one pitch away from what would be a tremendous victory for the Bulls. It was such a depressing loss on Friday night with the big crowd losing 16-7. Dramatic win Saturday, and now one pitch from a win on Sunday, and they get it! He can't check his swing! Striking out the side is Riley Skeen!
Officially wiping out the memories of last year against Memphis, and officially grabbing the save against the Tigers this year. What a victory on a Sunday afternoon. The Sunday Golds shine for the Bulls.
By the way, no one got a sweep on weekend one, and of the five teams that are 2-1, of course, the Bulls are one. East Carolina's not, because they got stunned, as we look at the latest computer rankings, by the team that was the worst RPI-ranked in the league, UTSA. Now, the Roadrunners just jumped 50 spots with that sweep. It sees them at 131. East Carolina just drops two because of their overall strength of schedule to 27. Wichita shoots up to 58, and then the Bulls are third in the conference, dropping two spots actually this weekend to 85. Softball's computer ranking is good because of their early schedule, 52. However, unfortunately, is now 3-6 in the conference, and for a third straight weekend in conference play, won the first game and lost the next two, playing a UAB team that was just 12-16. And sure enough, the Bulls started off as strongly as you could. A 3-0 lead in the first inning, got a home run, her first as a Bull, from Olivia Elliott. Never lost the lead. Peyton Dixon got her 11th win. Bell Sarja picked up her fourth save. Turn around, played the second game of the doubleheader, and that's where things went in the other direction. UAB 3 in the bottom of the first. Bulls answer with a Camille Ortiz Martinez 2-run homer, but then two more for UAB in the bottom of the second. That ends Bell Sarge's day. Now, Julie Apostolakos was great out of the pen. Just one run allowed in four innings, but UAB kept the Bulls off the board after Bailey Gipolle hit a two-run homer that made it 5-4 in the top of the third, and it was 6-4. Then, in the decider on Sunday, critical drop on what would have been an inning-ending play. UAB had already had a bases-loaded hit by pitch, but a flyout that should have, again, kept it 1-0 got dropped. All three runs scored, a 5-run first inning, and the Bulls were just staggered. They would get two back in the second, but they lost the game 7-5, did have 10 hits, including three along with three ribbies by Kathy Garcia Soto in the ninth spot, but 5-0 was too much to overcome, so the Bulls still have a good overall record at 23-13, but have not played any of the top three teams in the league yet from a record perspective. And one of them's coming to town this week. That's North Texas at 8-1 after sweeping Tulsa. We'll have those games for you Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No baseball this week. We'll be staying home Tuesday to record the new Bullseye show while Baseball's at Bethune-Cookman. We'll make sure to post the video link for that, and we'll recap that for you on Wednesday's show. Then they go to Charlotte. We will not be traveling, at least out of state, with baseball this season. Unless something changes, we'll let you know if it does. Well, we told you that women's tennis had two difficult matches, and to expect to win them both would have been too much. In fact, they lost to 43rd-ranked SMU 4-0 on Saturday in Charlotte. Then they merely had to turn around and play the 48th-ranked team in the country, the 49ers. They got a huge doubles point victory. The number three court secured it. That's Melissa Senley and Kelly Vargas, 7-5. Then in singles, Charlotte quickly took the lead because they won easily on the 5 and the 6 courts. So basically four close matches, and the Bulls had to win three of them. And they did. Grace Schumacher moved from the one spot to the two court, won 6-4, 6-4, while new number one Najah Bae Christians was losing 6-4, 7-6. So it came down to the Bulls having to win the last two, and Marta Faselto Font won the third set 7-5. And Melissa Senley, she's the transfer from UMass, originally from Turkey, who was an all A-10 player last year as a freshman, had won her first set 7-5 in a tiebreaker and clinched it. This was big for the Bulls. 6-4 second set victory, a 4-3 win. Makes the Bulls 11-8 with two matches left in the regular season, which will actually be next weekend down in Miami. Then they go to Dallas for the AAC tournament. Speaking of tennis, I'll be talking with Alvin Todorica for the new Bullseye show and give you an update on those guys on Wednesday's program. Also, let you know how men's golf is doing in an event that begins today. The Valspar Collegiate in Palm City. Try 5 of the top 10 teams in the country, including number one North Carolina. You also have third-ranked Vandy, ASU's 4th, Bama 6, Texas Tech 9, Florida State 11, Arkansas 13, Oklahoma 14, Texas 18. In other words, yeah, if the Bulls can even finish middle of the pack in this 16-team event, that'll work. I'll tell you about it on Wednesday's show. Once again, you'll also on Tuesday morning hear the new Bulls Beat Ahead. I'll be chatting up Michael Kelly for you today. Thanks for listening to Bulls Beat on a Monday. I'm Derek Sharp.